Thing.
How you doing?
How's it going?
Doing pretty well over here.
Okay, good. Let me switch over toward my calendar here. I mean my screen. Good. I hear that you guys are having some success, so that's good.
We are. Things are going pretty well. Oh, hey, Larry.
Hello, everybody. Sorry,
Hey, Larry.
sorry I'm late. We had an electrician here this morning, and I had to attend to that, so he was late. So I'm here. We're
Okay.
here now.
Well, good morning.
Can everybody
How you
hear me?
doing?
I can't hear you, Curtis.
You can't hear me.
Let me see. Maybe I got it muted. Might have something muted here. Hold on.
Carl and I were just chatting.
The volume's down. Okay. Curtis, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello? Still can't hear him.
You can't
I
hear
can
me.
hear Curtis,
Can
so
you
I
hear
think
me?
it's something on your side.
That? No, it's not that.
You can hear me, Carl?
I don't know why I
I can
can't
hear you
hear
fine.
anybody.
Yeah, Carl can hear me fine.
Yes, you can figure out that.
Testing, testing, testing. Testing, testing, testing.
Should work. It always does work. I think it's something going on there.
Yeah.
Can Carl hear me? Carl, can you turn your microphone?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I can hear
Carl,
you.
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear
I
you.
can't hear you either, Carl.
Yeah.
Okay,
Okay.
we're calling in for the audio. We're
Okay.
calling in for the audio.
Okay.
Okay, so hold on a second. Yeah. Lori. Just a second. Calling in.
Okay.
Calling in, calling in. Okay.
You hear me, Larry? Can you hear me, Larry? Can you hear me now? Like Verizon. Okay.
There we go.
Oh, wow. Now we got the echo.
Okay, so what you should do is you should mute your computer.
Okay.
I've muted it.
Okay. So, has that stopped the echo?
Yeah,
okay. We're hearing me, but I couldn't hear you. That's wild.
Yeah, I don't know
Okay.
why. Carl and I are connected. We both could hear you, but
I don't know why. We were trying to figure out what was going on with the computer audio. It just probably needs to be rebooted. No problem.
Okay.
I was running late. I had an electrician here, but we're good now.
Okay, good. Well, look,
Yeah.
let's start with your agenda first and the things that are on your mind. I want to make sure I get to those, and then we'll cover some material today.
Okay.
So.
Well, we've been getting more quality referrals than we ever have, Curtis, and that's a testament to the Supernova process and our team.
Yeah,
And you.
absolutely.
And so I think that trend should continue
Good.
and probably even accelerate based on what I'm seeing. So what I want to ask you about was what Lori sent us today. Let me take a look at that real quick.
Okay.
Using the other computer for a second. Okay. So I can put you guys here. Just give me a second to arrange my life again the way it's supposed to be.
Okay.
Okay. So while I'm looking at this, Curtis, I've hypothesized that we quite possibly have now with Supernova implemented.
Yes.
A service we're offering people that's not only unique and effective, but might be second to none in quality.
Sure, it should be.
It's what it feels like right now. And just knowing the other financial advisors I work with, if I were to show anybody that, you know, I guess Michael Kitsis might be the guy to show, but I want to share with you too how we do the planning. It's incredible. And it's the reason why we got so enthused and so hyped out about doing great planning is because we knew that if Supernova worked and we got these high net worth clients, we better have a valuable planning system to show them.
Oh, absolutely.
And so we did. And so we're feeling right now like we have a second to none system. Like there's nobody anywhere that could, that competes with us. I mean, unless they have a great personality that shines higher than us somehow, but as far as like the team and the structure and the responsiveness and everything, it's in the planning tools. I feel like we're up there. We're world class. And
good.
I don't know who can tell us that. Is there somebody that can tell us, somebody that can evaluate how we're doing it with the planning and the service model and everything, that can say to us, oh, there's no holes in your game. Your service model is second to none. There's nobody else out there. In other words, who do we go to know that? Do you know?
Well, a couple of things. Harvard did a study on Supernova and legitimized the process as being second to none. So
right.
That
it already is by itself.
Yeah. So it already is. And, you know, we've got the Harvard study. I mean, it's 25 pages long. If you want to read it, I'll be happy to send it to you. But it talks about Supernova. The other test that I'll share with you is at Merrill Lynch, when Rob and I were there, we came up with what was called this branch operation services report. And it's called BOSAR. And one of the things that we did is we measured client satisfaction among a number of dimensions. And one of the things that was happening with Rob is, you know, he was excelling at all of the metrics, and Merrill Lynch probably had more metrics that they measured than anybody. And, but the one metric that he wasn't succeeding in was the client satisfaction metric. And, they were bringing in a lot of accounts, but they were losing them out the back door, as fast as they were coming in. So, his sales manager, a guy who I hired in Washington, D.C., Jim Walker, was challenged to figure out a way to systematize a process to elevate the client satisfaction numbers. And they succeeded in doing it. And also, Harvard did a case study on what he was doing and the results. Mm-hmm. And so many of us throughout the firm adopted that model as well. And as a result, the level of client enthusiasm, satisfaction went up. So did the assets. So did the productivity, so on and so forth. And, then what we did is the aftermath of all this is he wrote the book Supernova and studied that. and then developed kind of a guideline, which has gone through Minimorphosis, which is that PDF that you have. And then I wrote a book just on how teams could better execute on the model and other team dynamics that teams were facing. So if a team is dysfunctional, or if there's a lack of trust, the behaviors aren't there, then you can't really execute on the model. And then what we did is we started to think about how could we get people to leverage their skills and capabilities using either the client's advisors or other advisors and vendors that come into the thing. So that's kind of the next level that you get at. And so the study of Supernova and its implementation has been going on for more than 20 years. So what you're getting when you now get Supernova is you're getting the collective wisdom of all of the metamorphosis that's gone on before you.
Right.
So that's where you are today. You know, you're that evolution that has taken place and will still continue to take place the more we study this. And believe me, we don't sit on our laurels. We're always thinking of ways to improve the delivery. So every time I coach somebody, every time he coaches somebody, we get more intelligence about financial advisors and what they're going through.
Yeah.
We try to, you know, try to modify it. So for example, like in San Francisco, it's 49 square miles. That's where I was an FA. Now, if all I did was cold call and there were 20 other people cold calling, pretty soon we're going to pretty much hit everybody in that town, right? So that doesn't work anymore. So you've got to come up with ulterior methods to grow the practice. And so part of it was what we learned as financial advisors, and the other part, and we were all successful. And the other part is what we learned as managers about financial advisor behavior, and we kind of bring the two together. So your question is a very, very good one. You know, your only competition, I would say this, is that if there was a firm that was doing Supernova and they had more resources than you, okay, and they could apply those resources to the client. So in this book,
that's the only thing that could be better than us. And using Supernova,
That's the only thing. I'm going to show you. I drafted a matrix, and I think I'm going to see if I can find the actual page that this is on in my book. Yeah, it's on page 76. Do you have this?
I don't have the actual book. You did the Audible, the audio book.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I get it. I should get it from my library.
Do you have the, did they give you the PDF with it?
I think it comes with it, but I never opened it because on Audible, I have never opened one of the PDFs yet. I got to try and see how that is.
Well, there's a matrix in here that looks like this.
Okay, you I'm trying to see it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't. Okay. Yeah, okay.
And
what page is that on?
That's on page 76.
Okay. I'll look it up tonight or look it up later on Audible.
So here's the advantage of this matrix. It has the financial advisor in the center. And then it says this advisor can interact with another financial advisory team that's a specialty team. Okay. So let's say there's a team that's an expert in endowments, and healthcare, hospitals, and, you know, doing managed money, philanthropic services, so on and so forth. Well, what you would do is team up with that team if you came across a lead, but you didn't have that expertise. You could team up with that team and split the business.
You'd be happy to. We don't know that team yet. We haven't met that team yet.
Right, right. So what I'm saying is you don't have that as a, as an external capability. And then there's firm resource teams that you could interact with. That's the next level, is teaming up with the client's advisors and your own internal capabilities with your firm, and bring in all the resources to bear using Supernova. That's what we call the force multiplier effect. Now, in the book, I talk about that, like I use the example of the Navy SEALs, okay? So you got a small group of five guys. They're out on a mission. And while on that mission, they encounter a superior force of, let's say, 150 combatants. Now, that group of five isn't going to go against that 150, right? They'll get annihilated. Right. So what do they do? They call in air support. They call in the quick reaction force. They call in Navy cruise missiles. You know, they bring a platform to bear on that incident. Okay? So what you do if you're going to move further up and, let's say, get to a level of 5, 10 million, you're going to be bringing a platform to certain clients. So let's say you run across the client that's got 5 million. Well, with your resources, you do what you can do for that client.
Mm-hmm.
But he may need some sophisticated home office wealth management capabilities, some more advanced planning capabilities, some more advanced tax capabilities, and you've got to be able to call in resources when you need them. That's the force multiplier, where you've got your platform, but then you've got the external platform that you bring to bear on the client relationship. Okay?
So we will be developing those. As we develop our COIs, those should naturally develop as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And so what we're doing now is, this is all like aspirational in terms of where you can go. Now, there's very few people that can get there. Okay. The ones that are doing that are probably at the $2-4 million category. You know, I'm talking to a guy right, I'm talking to an FA team right now, and two of his people are new. He's got the junior FA and the client associate, and she's relatively new. And he brought in, one of the things that he doesn't like to do is portfolio management. You know, he doesn't want to stop and do all that stuff. So he's got a virtual teammate that he refers clients to that do that. And he shares the business. Well, so he gets leverage, right? That's the force multiplier. So that'll take place as we continue to go. But to answer your question, if they're not doing Supernova, and it's very, very specific, then you don't have a whole lot of competition.
It doesn't seem like it.
In terms of a concierge service model.
I don't see how they could compete with us in any facet right now, because even our planning platform, I've seen a bunch of them, and you know, they're either these very quick investment policy statement style planning platforms where they input some data in there,
yeah,
and it spits out some kind of asset allocation plan, right, which is the most common thing I see,
right.
Or it's something else that makes it real streamlined and simple. I don't see anybody doing what we're doing. What I do is we write down a financial roadmap that has, you know, perfect, goals for each and every account. And then we take the planning software with all its calculators and stuff like that and project cash flows and things like that. So
right,
it feels to me like we're sitting on top of a platform in-house right now that nobody else seems to be able to put together in their in-house. I don't know. Maybe there are FAs doing that, but I don't know who they are.
Yeah. So what you're doing is you're attacking it the right way. You're giving your client the roadmap. You're applying the concierge service. You're giving them the level of contact, you know, that they want. You're asking them, hey, what do you want to do? What are your goals?
Yep. And all this great planning platform we have, Curtis.
Yeah.
It wouldn't do anything. We didn't have the service model. The service model makes it run.
Exactly. So, you know, we always talk about planning in Supernova. So I think that, you know, we'll talk about some of the failure points. I don't like to really talk failure points, but these are rationales of why people might fumble a little bit and not succeed in the way that they have the potential to succeed. So,
yeah,
you know, so let's talk about that.
All right, and
talk about the failure points. And then there's three other things that I want to talk about.
Before
I get to that, did you understand when I sent you those links about, gifting, for clients, giving you referrals and things like that? You wanted to show some appreciation?
Yeah, I did. I did look at those. I briefly went over them. I've been working hard because it's the last day to deal with my PPP loan thing, and I'm working on all that. So I'm just in an insane for the moment, but that'll clear up here soon.
Okay, good. So, you know, I haven't seen anybody knock the edibles. So you might think about that as a little bit of appreciation. Something that's edible. Okay. I had a person send me some biscottis once. I thought that was so neat. I would never have thought about going out and getting some biscottis.
Yeah, right.
For my coffee. So, some kind of little snack, the snack baskets and things like that. So I just wanted to, you know, help you out with that.
I'm going to take your advice. I'll be doing that real soon. I got a bunch of gifts I got to send out.
Okay. So, let's just talk about, some of these, failure points. You know, the first is you got to stay with that 80-20 rule, you know, meaning that you learn it once, you get all segmented, and then you don't revisit it ever again. Well, you keep upgrading. It's stair step to the stars. Okay. That's hard. That'll be the hardest thing you do. And it'll be hard because you love your clients. Okay. So what you will end up doing is if you set the bar at 250, that's where you're going to define your brand. So you're going to have to get that elevated to 1 million 1.5 million, 2 million. You can't stop thinking like that.
Okay. I thought about it already. I've been thinking about it this morning. What AUM will I up? Will I go from 500 to a million? And I thought it was 25 million.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to see you go from 5 to 750. 750 to a million. Because what that's going to do is it's going to increase your level of comfort. Knowing, hey, look, you know, if they've got 2 million, I'm open. I'm open for business. Because that kind of capital is out there. So the first failure point we talk about is when you don't segment. So you got to continuously segment. Now, your client list. You can't give that concierge service to more than 100 relationships per advisor, which tells you a couple of things. If you want to stay manageable, you limit it to 100. If it's hard to give people away, then you're going to have to bring on a junior advisor.
Right. We're not close to that yet, by the way. We're about 40. With these referrals come in, we might be at 45 high net worth household.
Yeah. So you don't have to worry about that right now. Okay. Planning. And that is failure to batch process your client meetings. You know, having them on the schedule, you know, having your regular call schedule that we always talk about. And failure to implement your planning-based strategy. In other words, you put together this wonderful plan, and maybe the hot button was to structure the portfolio, and you get it done, and then you don't go back to them again on any other planning initiatives. So you got to constantly follow through to completion. Organization. That's the failure point there, is the failure to turn the schedule over to the client associate. Let them own it. And as much as you want to stick your toe in there, and you know, you got to turn it over to somebody. And I think Carl is the man. Non-adherence to 12-4-2. 12 contacts, 4 appointments, 2 of them being in person, 2 of them being telephonic, and the 1-hour response to problems with a 24-hour resolution. That is your service model. You got to stick with it.
That's the brand.
That's your brand.
Yeah.
Acquisition. Not allocating any time, and I can see that's not an issue for you now, but not allocating time to grow the business, grow the practice. Failure to ask the clients for introductions, the COIs, and later the mastermind group. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then leadership. And this is really hard for people. I ran track in high school, and I was a quarter miler. I ran 47 something, and I went to the state championships. But if I wasn't constantly measuring how quickly I could get around that 110, measuring how I could get to the 220 mark, and then measure my quarter mile time, then I never knew I was making any improvement. You can't do that. So that's what that stopwatch is for. That's what your game board and your scoreboard is for, is measuring your accountability and being introspective. Did we do it this week, guys, or did we not do it? What do we do well? What do we not do so well? And being honest and frank with yourselves. That keeps you ahead. It's not a criticism. We're not asking you to beat up on each other, but be critical. If you drop the ball, understand why. Okay.
July 1st is this week. We're going to have our first game board meeting. We're using the metrics that I showed you last week.
Okay. Good. Perfect. And you got to do 12-4-2 for your staff. Okay? Meaning.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. You're going to have your team huddles and all of those things that we've covered. But have a folder on each staff member where, you know, they get to speak freely about what they're going through. You get to speak freely about what you see and what you would like to improve upon, and talk to them about what the expectations are and what could happen if we're all together. Okay.
I try to help. I try to visualize that myself with the – what the, like, 1 year from now looks like.
Right.
Try to relay that vision to the team. But even I am having a hard time imagining where it goes from here. I just know it's going to be good.
Well, see, the one thing is I'm like your accountability guy. You know, I'm asking you, you know, you're doing 12-4-2. You got folders for each of your clients. When was the last time you elevated your target? You know, I'm your accountability guy. I'm the guy that you got to talk to and debate these things with me and not an obtrusive way, but just a, you know, friendly debate. It's like we had the conversation about what you wanted to track and what you wanted to measure. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The other thing is being this servant leader so that you have these values to fall back on. I'm going to tell you a story. Guys wanted to get me in and become president of this entrepreneurial venture, asset management company. And I said, okay. And I wrote their business plan. And we were bringing in counts and assets. And, you know, eventually I helped them secure $15 million in capital. But one day I discovered that transactions were being placed late. And so I called the two partners and I said, hey, wait, you know, we got late trades going in. We're going to have to reimburse the clients for any losses due to late these trades not being placed on time. They hemmed and they hawed. And I said, look, if you don't get those transactions placed as of, that's a fraudulent act. And I can't be associated with a group of folks that don't have that as part of their value system. So forget the security rules and regulations that were potentially violated. You were running against the grain of my personal values. And the servant leader is the person who promotes the values for everybody. Now, those clients were all reimbursed. There were, you know, the losses were something like $70,000.
Jeez.
Okay, so it wasn't a lot of money. That's why they didn't want to. They wanted to just kind of ignore it, and I wouldn't let them do it.
Yeah, it's a good amount of money.
But at some point, somebody was going to find out. Okay? They always find out. And, I've run into, in my leadership management career, lapses in values. And the servant leader has got to constantly promote the integrity and the values of the organization. That's you. You're that leader. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think we try to do that. And I think our team, I hope at least they would agree that I convey values.
Yeah. And, you know, and when you have that as your backup, you know, nobody is ever can question what you do, how you do it, because you're always, well, Mrs. Jones, I got to go back to my value system. I'm acting in your best interest. I eat, sleep, and breathe integrity. So that is one of the benefits. So you establish your sacred values. They'll stand the test in the toughest of times. I made my mind up, you know, when I came into the business, I wasn't going to compromise my values for anybody. Manager, superior, anybody. So share these, write your values down, share them with your team, write your purpose, mission, and vision statement that incorporates those values. Learn them by heart and commit them every day. These are the soft things, but it's the glue that bounds the people to the organization. Okay. So you, once you get that down, you bring the team together and you do that. Your core values, what you stand for. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Any questions on that servant leadership component?
Okay. I feel like our value system's reflected in our planning platform and our service model, because we don't know of anything better than what we're doing, and so that is integrity.
Okay.
And if we learn anything better, we'll add it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Okay, so the next thing I wanted to talk about was, so what are you tracking? At the end of the day, if I'm measuring you, you know, I'm measuring the things that help get you to a certain point. That's your weekly game board. I'm measuring you on your KPIs, your key performance indicators. Are you growing your revenue? Are you growing your households? Are you growing your assets? You know, are you doing planning and executing on a planning-based strategy? Those are the basic things I want to measure you on. And then client satisfaction is your feedback you get. What do you value, Mr. Jones, about the conversation we just had? What are your key takeaways? Okay. So now you got that done. Then the other thing I want to measure you on is where you get your clients. So I think I may have sent it, I'm not sure, but I have this client acquisition matrix. And okay. on it, it's got, let's see. It's got 9 client acquisition methodologies. Now I'm going to read these to you. You're not going to implement them all at the same time, which we talked about.
Okay.
But the strategies, the 9 strategies are your enthusiastically endorsed model, your 90-day free look,
mm-hmm.
unsolicited referrals. Sometimes people just love you and they want to introduce you to people.
Mm-hmm. Just centers, not one of those.
Centers of influence, COIs, your 4-member mastermind group.
Putting that off for now.
right? Your two community boards.
Putting it off too.
Your two niche markets.
Got that.
And one social media.
Working on LinkedIn.
And your VIPSA referral method.
Practicing it.
Okay.
Trying to learn to do that without fumbling it.
So that's how we acquire new relationships. Now, you know, imagine if you got three of these things going on at the same time, you know, you're going to get really, really busy pretty quickly.
Yep.
Okay. You know, you're going to have client introductions and referrals and things come in every which way. And that's how you're going to build your business.
Yeah.
And then after a while, you're going to have to be a little more selfish of your time and your billable hours. You know, you can't bill yourself out at 150. You're going to have to bill yourself out at $300 or $400 per hour, $500 per hour. Okay.
I don't bill right now, by the way. I don't bill anybody.
And that is just a figure of speech. If I took your total revenues and I divided it by, you know, 256 days and how many hours you're there, I can come up with, I have a software program that can calculate that.
Oh, okay. I'd like to see that if you want to share it.
Yeah. I'll walk you through it.
Okay.
And then you can, have web access to it.
Okay.
And maybe what we should do is do that on our next call.
Okay.
All right. Now, your meetings, the types of meetings that we put together by way of review. You know, you've got your team huddle, your daily stand-up meeting, which is 10 minutes in length. You okay? I'm okay. How's it going? You got your two weekly meetings on the game board and on the scoreboard. You got your monthly meeting, which is your two-hour planning session with each VP reporting on what they are doing. You've got your monthly meeting with each team member. They each have a folder. They're keeping notes. They bring their folder to the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Quarter.
A lot of details in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And once a quarter, you know, for half a day, they report on their progress and adjustments and is everything going according to strategy? Are there gaps? Are there things we need to work on?
And then, is there a template for the team member folders, Curtis, by the way? Sorry. Is there a template?
No. Okay. Not really. It's the things that, but I would create agendas for each of those, meetings. You know, run them like, run the half day and the once a day meeting like you're running a board meeting. Okay. Old business, financial report, strategic direction, goals, you know, all the things you're doing. That's your agenda.
Okay.
Make sense?
It does.
Okay. All right, now, questions for me about anything that we've covered so far?
As far as one of the things I wanted to do is use LinkedIn.
Okay.
Oh, about what we covered so far. So, yeah, and how do I get my team involved with that?
Okay.
And, you know, because it talks about the team, you know, being involved with the website and LinkedIn and all that stuff, but it really says director of marketing, which is me. But how do I make sure how do I get my team in there?
Yeah, you can. That's one thing you can delegate. Let me just see if I have in my folder. I have I think I have like 34 LinkedIn ideas.
Okay. I'd be willing to look at that.
Okay. I'll send them.
I'd be happy to look at it, actually.
Yeah, I'll send them to you. Let me, and that's that social media framework. I mean, you got to ask yourself, are you ready for that just yet? But it doesn't hurt to look at it. Hold on one moment. I'm going to see if I've got that. Okay.
When you're done with that, I got another thing to relay to you.
Oh. Okay. So I just sent it.
Okay. Did you want to go over it before I get into these other things, or you wanted to just look at it later?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to run some of the bullets. I'm going to go through half of them with you.
Okay. All right. So, I'm ready.
So the first one is, are you on LinkedIn right now?
I can get on there.
Okay. No. I don't need you to do that. But I mean, do you have a LinkedIn account?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Yes, we
okay.
do.
So, all right. So you got to set up your profile. And so that's number one. Number two, you got to go through and update your profile. And what you might do is put a version of your vision statement on your profile. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't used our statements or our approved bio yet for any electronic media, okay. But I need to do that.
So that would be something that you could give to, you know, either Carl or Brianna, whoever you're going to have manage your LinkedIn profile. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is we want to get an attractive profile up there. And what you might do is you might send me, a copy of a link to your profile. And then what you're going to do is you're going to start thinking about all the networks that you want to be a part of. Now, I've got San Diego State in there. That gives me access to 220 connections. Cause you know, that school's got like 35,000 students and, you know, there's over 220,000 connections. So I'm in that network, that group. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also in, National University San Diego's, group. That's okay. Probably got over 100,000. I'm in Wharton's group. That has another 100,000+.
Okay.
I'm in a chief operating officers group. And then I'm in a couple of corporate groups. So the next thing that you do is you look at the groups and you begin to mine the networks of your connections. Now, Once you get those three things done, then you can ask for LinkedIn introductions. You can ask your connections to introduce you to their connections. Okay?
Oh, yeah. And, I'm listening to Bill Cates' book on that too, talking about that.
Okay. Now, has that list come to you yet?
No. For some reason, it didn't hit me yet. Did my LinkedIn profile come to you yet?
No, I'm just going through this document right now. And that takes us up to 4. And then once you get that done, you're going to follow companies on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you specialize in helping employees of certain companies. So you probably want to get on Boeing's.
I'm on there. I'm on every type of Boeing thing I could get on. I added it.
Okay, perfect. And now, you know, once you get that going, then you can add another one. And LinkedIn's got like thousands of groups that cater to a number of professional and personal interests. I personally, I wouldn't suggest that you get on investment advisory groups necessarily, because you can't really prospect those guys.
I just subscribed to Kitsis, so
he's good.
I'm gonna listen to what he says for a while too. Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. And then you got to get into sharing information with your groups on a topic of interest. It can be a short video. It can be a document. It could be something else from somebody else that's worthwhile sharing and passing on. That takes us to 7 in the LinkedIn thing. And I think that's kind of where we should stop. Let me go over to my thing here. Yeah, your profile came to me. I'm going to go to my sent items and make sure that document went to you.
Yeah, because I still don't see it.
Yeah, 1157, it's entitled Media Strategy.
Okay, it hasn't shown up for some reason. It's 1203, so I don't know what's going on with it.
Okay, so now I'm back up to looking at you. So it's got like 34 like ideas on how to use LinkedIn. And I think if you start with some you've already done, but if you start with just the top 7 or 8, that'll get you going. So you set a goal for social media. Now, do you think at this time, who would you delegate the social media piece to?
Carl?
Okay. So then Carl would have the social media piece, and then he gets into the habit once a week looking at your LinkedIn profile and looking at potential prospects and sending Carl messages out. Yeah.
Okay. That would be good because no one does that once a week right now.
Yeah. So just once a week, take 15 or 20 minutes, look at the profile, look at any idea that you want to get out to LinkedIn recipients. Now, one of the things I'll tell you, this is a personal preference. I don't like where somebody is bombarding me constantly on LinkedIn. You know, every 2 weeks sending something, that's maybe okay. Every 2 to 3 weeks, but not every day.
I have a service, Curtis, through a company called FMG Suite. They also manage my website, but they have a FINRA approved, you know, already created material. Okay. So my challenge is actually the opposite, and that is to create additional things to send out, because it really only happens We send out a video and a market insights. So it's scheduled to send out two things a month to post on LinkedIn. There's no original content. I don't go out and find articles and post them on LinkedIn because I just haven't done that. I could. I'm not sure what the compliance approval process for those articles is at this point.
Right.
I just use whatever the pre-approved content, because they do have enough pre-approved content that's sort of made just for that.
Then I would use that. I would use that for now. And not go overboard with it. And,
cool.
You know, begin to identify these suspects that could be prospects on LinkedIn and get you personal introductions.
Yeah, we got a couple that we're kind of working on through LinkedIn right now.
Okay. And then what you do is you get Carl over time to cross-check your current clients and see who they might be connected with. So when you're down to the referral stage with clients or personal introductions, you say, I noticed on LinkedIn that you've got a relationship with John Jones and Mary Smith. You know, is it possible for you to make a personal introduction? Then now you're working it.
Very,
like I say,
the more specific, the better the referral.
What's that?
The more specific you get, the better the referral chances.
Exactly. You can, like I had a guy, he's kind of a competitor, but he sent me a letter asking if I could, if I would allow him to contact, 10 people that were under my LinkedIn, profile or connections. And I said, sure. He got 10, just like that. 10 names.
Yeah.
With my endorsement. That's pretty powerful. I mean, if you did something like that, once a month, and you uncovered 10 to 15 prospects, that'd be a big win, wouldn't it?
It's probably just sitting there like acres of diamonds sitting in front of me, and I'm not doing anything with it.
The big key is how much can you manage between the client introductions, the COI introductions, and then bringing on social media. I mean, you'll have a pipeline of over 100 real quick. Yeah, I mean, you'll be killing it.
It wouldn't hurt me to just pop right to that level, except for, you know, we are still in the process of perfecting our team and our onboarding and all that stuff. I mean, we're doing a good job of it. But.
Yeah, that's why I don't. You know, I'm very hesitant to get your arms around too much right now, because I know what you're doing. I want you to do the things that you do extremely well.
Yeah, I can't eat the whole steak at once. I'm just kind of taking a few bites out of it.
There you go. there you go. Okay.
Let me do some show and tell, Curtis, because I got to ask you something.
Okay.
So these folders, right?
Yeah.
Oh. What we did is we put all the Supernova, you know, the client contact stuff and everything is in this first tab.
Okay.
Including our profile and everything.
Wow.
That's my understanding of how it's supposed to go, right? And these exactly. Other tabs are for what? What
okay.
Are all the other tabs supposed to be used for?
So is that a client folder? Is that for your use or?
Yeah. This is the client's, but ours, you know, looks very similar to this. And I was going to ask you about some of the stuff in ours, but first I just want to get into this.
They can put a statement in there. They can put the copies or summaries of the financial plan in there.
So the financial plan's here. So wouldn't I replace it here? Or would I? Is there anything, any guidance about how I should tell people uniformly to use this thing versus doing right now, where everything we've done, including the plans, goes in this first section, and the rest
right.
of the section is blank.
Things that are going to be continuously updated, I wouldn't put in the first section. I'd put in the next section.
Gotcha. All right. Okay. Updated things go over there. Yep.
Right. And articles, like if they're looking at the journal and they cut out an article they want to talk to you about, have them stick it in there. Money Magazine article that they reference. Notes. You should have a page for notes.
We do. It's automatically with the, you know, it's part of the Supernova stuff.
Okay.
Those notes. You put that in a separate area too, the notes.
Yeah, I would put that, have a separate area for the notes.
I got to spread this stuff out a little bit better then is what I'm just putting it all in one side. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that's it. It's like you got all the information. So one of the things they say, like in the first page, critical contact information and enthusiastically endorse providers.
Yeah, I'm really working that. That's great stuff. So that's the first section. Got it.
Okay. Second page, a performance review or other planning documents.
I got to spread that out. Okay. Got it. Mm-hmm.
Third page, information about your agenda, the topic of the month.
Agenda,
okay. So like if you're talking about mortgages, then that's going to go in there.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Or if you're talking about long-term care, that's going to go in there.
I gotcha.
The fourth page is a section for potential referrals.
Right. Keeping track of people we referred back and forth.
Yeah, so that the client can have on the top of his mind, oh, wow, you know, who do I know that would be a good, you know, they're staring at that.
Okay, so I've been sending these out wrong. I need to spread them out to all the tabs. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I would definitely make the referral sheet a separate sheet. And then you could have a cash flow analysis in there and then agenda for the next upcoming meeting. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then the last page is just blank line paper for taking notes.
I'm going to do that. Okay, that's how I'll set it up. Now, in ours, in our house folder, there's some extra sections in here.
Okay.
Right, so we got these. Let's see here. 24 months. Okay, so we got sections like this, Curtis, where it has the Supernova planning tool.
Okay.
And we've discussed and done check boxes.
Okay.
Is there any guidance on how to use all this additional stuff that's in here, discussed and done?
You know, I think what you do is you just put the date down. Okay. When you've had that conversation, you just record the date.
You know?
Don't do a lot of extra. I want you to keep it simple.
Okay, got it. All right, I got another show and tell for you.
Okay.
So we do quite a bit of work on the front end here, right? So
yeah.
I'm noticing as we're onboarding these that since we're doing onboarding in the cluster now, it's starting to make me realize how much we actually are doing.
Right.
And I'm very proud of the fact that we're doing all this, but I just want to share with you.
Okay.
So we spend, you know, it's quite a few hours, you know, it's time on the phone with the client gathering all this data here to create the plan, the roadmap.
Okay.
With all the account specific goals and all that, right?
Right.
And then going into our electronic planning tools and creating these cash flow analyses and Monte Carlos and all that stuff.
Okay.
So I just did this for a referral that was sent to us by the accountant.
Okay.
And they're asking me a couple of questions, and I want to make sure I'm answering them right. So one is, you know, how are you doing this without billing me? And my answer is I give a lot up front because my compensation comes in making a positive impact on your life and your planning, and also on the referrals I get because of that. So that's what I've been saying. I want to know if you want to add to that or if that's right or how we want to do that.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that. I used to tell all clients how I get paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, number one, if you do business with me and implement something, I'm going to get paid a fee. And I will always mm-hmm. disclose what those fees are for any solutions that are provided.
Okay? Got it.
So mm-hmm. have some kind of a spiel like that. The second way I get paid, if you like the service that I'm providing you, mm-hmm. I would hope that you would enthusiastically endorse me to 3 or 4 or more of the relationships that you know that might have a need for some of the things that I can provide.
Like it. Okay. Okay.
And, you know, now you got people feeling like they owe you.
Yes. Yes, I like that. Okay. So I don't mind doing all the front-end work. I just want to get recognized for it at some point. But our team is, like, putting together, like, we're realizing as we're onboarding this, It is, you know, we're going to get very streamlined.
It's cutting-edge service. It's cutting-edge service.
We're putting a service together that, you know, you'd have to pay a lot of money for if it was like billing.
Okay, so Matt, wait. Hold on to that thought because you know that's what I'm driving you toward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm driving you toward when you're comfortable doing what you're doing that you got to get a little more expensive with the type of client that you're dealing with.
Right. I want to be able to perfect our processes so they don't have too many hiccups before I do that, though.
Yeah, I understand. I understand.
So there you go. I just wanted to pass that by you, see if I could improve on that, and I did just by passing it by you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're doing wonderful. God, I'm so proud of you, man. I really am.
I'm proud of my team here. They, without them, we can't do it.
That's right. So, Brianna, what do you have to say to me? Anything?
Nothing. Plans are going well.
Am I communicating things in a way that you are receiving it?
Yes.
Okay. Anything I should change?
I think they're very excited, Curtis. I think Brianna's more reserved about her excitement, but I think she's excited to see all this working.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Carl, you know, when I talk to him, I can feel he's very enthusiastic, you know, his approach and all the conversations we have. So,
Carl, let me hear from you. Take off your mute. Let me hear something from you.
Yeah, well, so I actually did want to drill down on the LinkedIn stuff a little bit more, but I was looking at the time. I figured it'd be better to just push that to next time.
Yeah, make sure that Larry sends you that list that I put together.
Yes, I'll make sure I follow up with him on that.
Okay. Very good.
But yeah, I'm excited overall, looking forward to growing things.
Okay, I think you all are doing a super job. My compliments to you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think that concludes our call for today.
Thank you, Curtis.
I look forward to our next call. You take care.
Yeah, we got to know when is our next call, by the way.
Oh, my goodness. I'll need to I think we now are moving to monthly calls.
That's what I think is happening, yeah.
Okay. Let me get back and see what they have scheduled for you, okay? They'll be communicating with you. And, so we'll follow up on that.
All right.
But, you know, as always, you know, you send me emails, talk to me. It's, that's still open.
All right. I will. There's always things to discuss, you know, and I try to hold them back for the meeting if possible. So I keep it all in one compartmentalized area, but there's times we need to talk. So for sure.
Yeah, that client appreciation stuff that that you're thinking of, those are all good thoughts.
I'm going to work on that today, actually, a little bit. So.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you soon, everybody.
Thanks, Curtis.
Okay, bye-bye.
Curtis, talk to you later.
Okay, Carl, I'll call you about an hour from now.